And this is Log Horizon Abridged. I'll say season one, general. All right, so are you ready?
No.
No?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay.
Yes. No. Yes. No.
Three.
Yes. No. Yes.
Three.
No. Two, yes. No. Yes. No. Yes.
One.
Welcome to That Time We Started an Anime Podcast. Here are your hosts, Josh Keck, Adam Hart, and Danny Steinbreaker. Where has all the time gone? Can someone tell me I'm
listening? Had all our life on. I know there's EA. You're in the game.
No, no, we're not doing this.
Yes, yes, we are.
EA is terrible. No, 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 no. Oh, my goodness. How many EA games have you played, Josh?
I've played quite a few. I can't remember any off the top of my head, but I've played a few.
I know my childhood, EA, like, was all over my Xbox and my GameCube and stuff. So I've definitely had my fair share of EA games. So when there were a lot of EA references, I definitely understood them.
Oh, for sure, for sure. So if you guys haven't caught on, Danny, what are we covering today?
So today we're actually going back into the realms of YouTube. To a little channel called Fat Dog Studios, to cover Log Horizon Abridged. And it's an 18-episode series. A couple episodes are some filler you could skip through. I think in total, watching it straight through without the filler content, you probably had about like 15, 16 episodes. Right. But it is such a fun watch. I have recommended this a lot, like Team Four Star, Fat Dog Studios. I recommend to a lot of my friends. And especially Log Horizon, because there are so many references. I think I have friends in every friend group that have something that they can relate to in Log Horizon.
Oh, I totally agree. And I'm not actually familiar with Log Horizon at all. But, watching this kind of makes me want to actually watch the original. Maybe even cover that at some point down the road. But, I certainly enjoyed it. There's so many references, especially Dave.
Daves.
The Daves.
The Daves. Dave.
And then actually what's really cool is their opening song is Emperor's New Clothes by Panic at the Disco.
I didn't pick up on that.
Yeah.
I feel like I should have.
Yeah, it's it took me a bit to realize what song that was, but if you use the closed captioning, it'll tell you what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So
now, I also love too, like for their finale, keep in mind it's a 45-minute final episode. Mm-hmm. But they do the whole Dr. Stone opening instead.
Oh,
and if you watch the closed captions, they even say, oh, this will make sense later. Mm-hmm. Did you watch the finale all the way through, get through all the end credits and everything?
I did.
So you saw who Menu-sama is in their world, right?
I believe I did. It's been a couple. I should have rewatched this, I mean, we watched it.
Nah, you're fine. I'm not trying to put you on the spot.
But
now, I love how they tie it in, because I believe they did a Slime Bridge as well.
Oh, yes, yes, they did.
And so Menu-sama was Rimuru. Or, sorry, is Rimuru from Slime.
Right.
They brought Milam into it as the Destroyer, and Veldora just watches all these simulations.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Okay, I remember now. Yeah, I thought that was actually
hilarious.
When
they talk about, like, oh, what happened to humanity? It's like, oh, they're on pause. It's like, where's Dad? Still counting, as it cuts to Dr. Stone, and it shows the main character, Dr. Stone, just counting as he's a statue.
Yes. Oh, I remember that.
There are just so many, like, little nods that I adore with this abridge, that it's like, I do catch myself watching it a lot, and I have to give credit to my fiance for even showing it to me. I didn't know about it until she's like, hey, I know you play D&D. Like, have you checked out this abridge? Because about 4 to 6 episodes in, I think, is when you get introduced to a whole guild where the leader made a deal with Menu-sama to make choices based on a D20 roll. Just playing this whole isekai adventure as a D&D campaign. And some of his moments are the best. They're like, Cresty, get up there and dance. Ah, no, I didn't roll high on my charisma on this one. Or the princess shows up, and before anyone can say anything, Cresty goes, roll to seduce the dragon. Cresty, you can't. Natural 20. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
You can't stop the will of Menu. It's going to happen.
Yeah,
then I do think there's one role in particular that was a big one for me. That natural one.
Oh,
he rolls the natural one. And then for anyone who's a D&D nerd will know what this is going on, because it's being described what's happening, but it's not finished. And he screams, lucky. To re-roll his roll before everything happens. And as he rolls, the thing finished. But because he did lucky and he re-rolled, if you watch the final episode all the way through to the end, past the end credit scene, Krusty shows back up in a new world. And Menu-sama's like, what are you doing here? He's like, what am I doing here? And Menu's like, I don't know. And then they just spend a few minutes filling him in on everything. And now Krusty's like, so am I sentient now? It's like, kinda?
Right. They had a one of the Goblin Slayer. There's the Christmas special Goblin Slayer Abridged. And it's basically all the Log Horizon guys. I think, are they like acting out, or was it being told as a story?
I'm sorry, which one
did it? Yeah, the Christmas one, the Goblin Slayer.
Oh, yeah, no, they were acting that one out. They were basically playing D&D. And that's the reason why a lot of the stuff was done the way it was.
Yeah. Because
they were playing D&D and being like, okay, so we're going to roll for this. This is what's going to happen. And that's one of those episodes I do say is one of the more filler episodes. It's a fun one to watch, but you definitely don't need to watch that episode to go further in.
No.
But there's a lot of good references in that episode in particular. It's definitely a fun one to watch when you have the time.
Right. And there's one with the Log Horizon Abridged 6.5, the Kermiting. I laughed so
hard. The Kermit guys, I thought they were a little annoying. They did their job. They did their job 100%. But wow.
Yeah. It was fun.
What I really loved was when we got into the kids and what they were doing. And keep in mind, we say kids, they're the avatars are children, but they're like 28, 29 years old.
Right, yeah.
And like that gets thrown in all the time. It's like, hey, we're not kids, but they're treated like kids. the whole time. And it's like, oh, the noob training camp. When they were reading that whole article, that was funny. So I just tell them like, hey, you guys are terrible. You guys can't just go after every loot you see. If you just see a chest in an open room, assume it's a trap. We're talking about you.
Right. And I'm trying to think of that one reference that they had. And it might come back to me, it might not. I could have sworn there was a Star Trek reference somewhere.
Oh, there are probably many Star Trek references. There, I know for a fact, like, out of references I can think off the top of my head, they have Team Four Star references, because any following a bridge loves to reference Team Four Star.
Right.
You got the Dark Souls references with the Get Good comments. There are SAO and SAO Abridged references, because I don't know if you know this, but Log Horizon and SAO are basically direct competitors in the anime world.
And I think I might have caught that reference. Was it episode 2 where they had who was the cat?
Oh, sure. I'm trying to remember. What's a cat's name?
But anyways, they mentioned something about two swords.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. So I was like, wait, how the fuck do you get the two swords from one of the thugs? So I wonder if that was maybe one of the references to Sword Art.
Oh, I think that definitely was a reference to that, as well as on one of the episodes, if you're watching the closed captions, I think it might be in French, but I could be wrong on that. They have a whole bit where they're talking about like, hey, stop comparing us to Sword Art Online. We're better than them. This is like, they're just going in on the log cry. And it is so funny to just.
It is. That. And to the. I mean, this almost, again, I don't know if this is how the actual Log Horizon is, but the way they did the abridged, though, it definitely feels like if Sword Art Online and Log Horizon had a crossover, mm-hmm. just for the fact that, you know, you're trapped in the game. The whole trapped in a game aspect of it. And it just reminds me of that. Which I thought, and that whole beginning was just hilarious, because it's like, you can't get out.
I get you. Yeah. And from what I understand too, both of the animes originally were released in almost alongside each other. So it was very much a almost like Dragon Ball to Naruto.
Okay.
Like, you know how those animes were going around the same time, and it was like, you either really like Dragon Ball or you seem to really like Naruto. There are very few in-betweens. Mm-hmm. That's how the Log Horizon community and the SAO community are. They're like, you either like SAO or you like Log Horizon.
Right.
They're both, in my opinion, they're both equally like as good as the other. They have, both of them have flaws. Both of them have strong points. But to me, they're the same. I enjoy watching them for what they are. Log Horizon, I think, has some more character development, especially in their first season.
Right.
But we've talked about that before in other episodes.
Right. Now, I did like the when they went to the catacombs.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how they were exploring that. And what was that scenario that they were looking at? Someone was trying to take over. Oh, what were they doing? They're trying to take something over.
Oh, when they were trying to take over, like, they were trying to take over, like, the guild hall.
Yeah.
Before our main crew just buys the whole bank.
Mm-hmm.
Buys everything.
Yes. And when they were in the catacombs, our main character and the guy that he was with, obviously they're starting to become like an item. But that whole scene where she gets separated, right? And then she comes across these two baddies, and the ends up hopping in, kind of saving the day. But because I know she lost her weapon as well because of the little mice guys.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, that fight was intense.
Sorry, it took me a second to place it. But yeah, I love the way that they do their fight. And that's one thing that some of Abridges struggle with, I feel, is like how to adapt the fight scenes into the Abridge. Because it's like you still want to make it kind of funny, but at the same point, like, you want to keep that action and everything. I think Log Cries and Abridge really got a good balance of the two.
I think so too. What's your favorite scenes?
Honestly, my favorite scenes are in the finale when we're finally confronting Menu and he's explaining how basically every potential isekai is a simulation he ran. The first simulation he tried running was to do Sword Art Online, and he's like, and a third of the people just killed themselves. Like, what am I supposed to do with that? And then it goes into like all these different ones until they get to Log Horizon. And this one worked. And then all of a sudden you turned an NPC into like a sentient person. Like, that's never been done. I want to see what happens here.
Oh yeah,
like,
that was
those are some of my favorite scenes.
Yeah, no, I agree. I thought that was a really cool scene. The fact that you could turn an NPC to an actual player. But my question is that the NPC is an NPC, but then if they were to, finally beat the game and everything, would that NPC actually have a person on the other side? Or would they still be stuck in the game?
You got to remember, these aren't people. Like the way Rimuru Menyusama described it is, these are a bunch of pieces of what were people. And he had about, like, I think he says like 30 or 40 actual people, and the rest were just a bunch of amalgamations. Okay. So technically these are all AI, where the difference between them and the NPCs are gets a little weird, but there's no people controlling them in this case. It's not like a Sword Art Online or Sword Art Online Abridged, where Kirito still can go out to the real world and everything. Like, there's no real world for them to go to.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense now. And yeah, when you guys watch this, you should definitely have the closed caption, because they definitely have some funny, like, little extra bits. Like, there's one where episode 6, it's like one of the quotes was, "Stop acting like an over 16. And then in parentheses below it, it says, "TBF, most adults are like that." I thought it was kind of funny. But yeah, no, it's just funny how they have those little... They had one where...
You know the general rule about YouTube Abridges, right? And the captions?
You can pretty much do whatever you want, right?
No. There's like a general rule to follow. Okay. So, if you're watching with closed captions and you watch the English one, that's going to typically be more true to what they're saying.
Right.
But if you go to either the Canadian, or I believe sometimes it's in the French English, it will be the altered version of captions. So it'll still be the closed captions, but it's going to be a lot of inside jokes. A lot of like, oh, we're going to put this here. So like that whole Sword Art Online rant I was telling you about in the closed captions, I believe that was either Canadian or the French. Canadian. Okay. When you're watching, and you'll get a lot of jokes. Dragon Ball Z Abridge does it. SAO Abridge does it.
Well, the American
it's kind of a rule of thumb.
Too. Well, I mean, the American one well, has it too, yeah.
It does, but there's it gets more like it goes more into it, and that's where I'm saying, like, rule of thumb, when you're watching Abridges on YouTube, there's the general one to watch, and then there's the real one to watch.
Okay. Yeah, because like one of them had like what was it, something about like a goblin sound or something, and they said the fact that blah 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 creepy blah 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 blah. But yeah, I know it. Either way, I mean, there's some little fun tidbits within the closed captioning. I'll have to watch it with the different one.
Oh yeah, and go back and check out some of the other abridges that we've been watching. And see where those closed captions go. Because like I said, it's not just this one. It's kind of a rule of thumb for most abridges.
Well, I'm looking at it right now. The only options I have at the moment is the English United States, English Auto Generator. And the other one is Auto Translate. So, and then
I'll have to take a look at it and get back to you on it to give you the... full one, but I believe it should be Canadian, so I have to see why you're not seeing that.
Okay. Well, this it says this setting only applies to the current video. Adjust captions as we. Oh, never mind. I thought that was something else, but yeah, I'll have to keep an eye out for that.
It's a lot of fun once you find out how that all works, because then all of a sudden you're getting so many more jokes.
Okay. And the whole thing.
And again, too, with Log Horizon, there's so many on those insider ones, too, where it's just. It gets great.
Oh, and the whole microtransaction thing was absolutely hilarious, too. It's like, oh, I have to do a micro thing on that, or you have to pay for that. I thought that was just absolutely hilarious.
How do I get the Daves off of my list?
One
payment of $9.99.
Which, to be fair,
I can just change your voice.
I mean,
it is 100%. Like, and again, too, with EA games, I get it.
Well, any even with the I think it depends on the game that you play. I know it's like. Grand Theft Auto, really the only microtransaction you do is if you buy the cards through the game, but then also you can buy physical cards and then put in the code. There are definitely a lot of games where if you just want this particular weapon, then you pay a couple bucks. With American Truck Simulator, if you want the certain DLC, you have to pay for that DLC.
Yep.
So yeah, it's pretty crazy when it comes to microtransactions.
Now, what I loved was when we get into the whole food debacle, and they're sitting here being like. They can't make food. Every time they make it, it just ends up turning into gloop and everything. And then all of a sudden, the cat's like, well, did you actually try to make it? They're like, yeah. And they do. Turns to gloop. He's like, well, are you a chef? Who picks a chef in a game normally as a class?
Very rarely. Very, very rarely, I think. Oh, and I love the fact that when they do their calls, I don't know if they used a couple of different ones, but the one that I actually that really got me was the Discord, because I actually did have Discord.
And
I thought that someone was messaging. I'm looking through my, you know, my channels and stuff, and I'm like, wait, who's putting down a message? And like nobody, I realized, oh, it's coming from the from the video,
coming from the show.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I've done that before.
Yeah, and I listened to a podcast recently, and I'm wondering if they do use Discord, because here and there I'll hear that doo-doot, and I realize, oh, it's them, not my phone.
Oh, that is funny.
I thought that was absolutely hilarious. And, you know, where'd it go? I just had it in front of me. Oh, well. It'll come back to me. But they're just so good.
Oh, I know.
Oh, I really liked how in episode 10, they did Carry On My Wayward Son. And they, that was just so cool. And let's see, it's a cover arranged by Calvin Williams, performed by Starbot, Richie Roberts, in Calvin Williams. But I thought they did a really good job with it.
No, yeah, I think they did too.
That was just so cool. But no, I mean, it, you know, for an abridged, I really did enjoy it. I really did.
Again, with the different video game references, different isekai references, D&D references, general life references. Like, I've been able to recommend this anime to so many of my friends, and I don't think I've had any of them come back and be like, yeah, no, that was a bad recommendation. Like, why would you recommend me this? Because it has something for everyone.
It does.
The only thing that I can argue is, it does go into a little bit of the sexual jokes quite a bit. So maybe that's not for everyone.
They do a little bit.
But aside from that, there's a lot of great moments. Oh, no.
I got one for you. So there's a scene in was episode 9 that Krusty says, we would, but you and I cannot pronounce it, Akatsuki, have already broken four beds.
Yep.
Yeah. So there's definitely some innuendos and, you know, suggestions, but I laughed so hard when they said they already broken four beds. I'm like, oh my God.
It's only four.
I mean, yeah, it's, it's just so funny.
What I love is the evil Santa.
Oh,
so yeah, I need you to stay in town in case there's like some kind of evil Santa. Evil Santa? I don't know. Sure enough, like two episodes later, hey, so there's an evil Santa. There's an evil Santa. No, there's a dude dressed in armor, but yeah, it's basically an evil Santa.
I kind of wonder,
how did he get that armor?
I was kind of wondering if there was a Futurama reference in there, because they did have an evil Santa, but then again, there are so many movies about an evil Santa, so.
Well, I mean, there's also the whole Krampus mythos before that, too, before movies that or anything. Well.
Yep. And then what else do we have evil? We have evil leprechauns.
Yep.
And now you've got, there's supposed to be a Mickey Mouse one coming out. And then there's Winnie the Pooh. Yeah. So there's going to be a lot of evil stuff coming out with our old childhood friends.
It's going to be an interesting time to keep an eye on that stuff.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm actually kind of curious about the Steamboat Willie one, the Mickey Mouse one. Because I saw the teaser for it and it looked interesting.
Oh, I have not. I'll have to look into that. So.
Now they do have the Good Edition, which is kind of like almost like the Kai version of this, but it's not like fast or anything. It's like Abridged.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not mistaken, which the dialogue is kind of different in a way. But yeah, it's interesting. You don't really have to watch that one, but it is kind of interesting. But
no, yeah, Fat Dog Studios in general, I do think that they're really fun crew. I think they have a lot of good different abridges that they run. So, like, obviously, we've been talking about Log Horizon, but moving on just from Log Horizon, like, they have That Time I Got Reincarnated as a Slime abridged, which is hilarious. I think we already talked about that one. I could be wrong. That might be slated for another one.
Yeah, I think we've mentioned it, but I don't think we've covered it yet.
I know they do a bunch of little D&D streams. They're also doing the Shield Hero Abridged, which has been great. I think they're only on episode 3 right now, like for full episodes. Mm. But I love what they've been doing with Shield Hero.
Now,
I always keep an eye on Fat Dog.
Do they have a One Piece, or am I thinking of a different company?
I think you're thinking of a different company. I know they also have the Seven Deadly Sins. I'm looking at their playlist right now.
Okay.
Slime. Yeah, they don't have a One Piece.
Okay.
But they do Seven Deadly Sins, Shield Hero. I tried watching the Toradora. I'm not sure how I feel about that one, but that's a new abridge they've been doing. Their Slime has 8 videos right now. I'm waiting for them to get more on that because I love their Slime abridged.
Now, the Shield Hero, I think I will definitely watch just for the fact that we have been covering Shield Hero. So, I definitely will watch that just so I can kind of compare.
Mm-hmm.
Because unlike, you know, our Dragon Ball Z abridges, I've watched Dragon Ball Z, but it's been such a long time. And then Sword Art Online, same thing. You know, we've watched it, and now we're watching, you know, the Sword Art, which I'm sure we'll have another episode of that coming out soon for the abridge. And, you know, with Log Horizon, like, I've never heard or seen it up until now, so I would definitely like to watch that. So I will definitely be watching the original. But yeah, Shield Hero, I think, will be more interesting since it's a little fresher, if you know what I mean.
Oh, no, I definitely get that. And just to give you an idea of some of the things that they've changed fundamentally, one of my biggest things that I like is they actually gave the Shield a personality and a voice.
Really?
So the Shield talks to him. And
interesting.
for the most part, no one else hears the shield. It's in his head. So he's talking to the shield. He just looks crazy. He looks so crazy talking to the shield. And she is so sassy. It is funny.
Okay.
So yeah, no, it's definitely a good one. I know they recently had an episode drop on that. I want to say it was a couple weeks ago, about a month ago.
Okay.
Let's see. Yeah, a month ago they dropped episode 3. And they're on, it looks like about every 6 months they're trying to get an episode out. So episode 4 we'll be looking forward to, hopefully 6 to 8 months down the way. That is the thing with new abridges, and that's something that's like I've grown being a fan of Team Four Star from the early days, is you gotta be patient with their upload schedules. In a lot of regards, I find if they take their time to get uploads, yeah, it's rough waiting 6 months, a year. I've waited up to 2 years for episodes to drop. But more often than not, if they're not rushing the episodes out, you get more quality. And you get that love of the show as well as a new episode. And that is so much more worth it. It's what I do look for when I'm trying to find these new YouTube channels that are abridging. Because I fell in love with Team Four Star, Dragon Ball Abridged, Hellsing Abridged. But there's only so many times I could watch them. And early YouTube abridges, like good abridges, were hard to find. Because either time wasn't put into editing them to make them look like they weren't just like copy and pasted from the anime, or the jokes were just too crude and crass. And after Team Four Star, we started seeing a good revolution, and I think we're starting to come into a second revolution for the abridges as well, of how abridged content can be done well and the types of steps to go in making a good abridged versus making a bad abridged. And it still does take a good amount of vetting and watching more than just like one or two episodes. I'll try and give a new series like the first 5 to 6, unless it is just too much.
Right. But yeah, like overall, it's, I can't say really anything bad about this, so.
It's a solid abridged. Like I said, the channel itself is a good abridged channel. I watch most of their abridges fairly consistently.
I wouldn't mind trying.
I do like being able to compare, because I know they do the Seven Deadly Sins. There's another channel that does Seven Deadly Sins. I think it's the Schmuck Squad. And I like doing both of them because they're both good. I think Fat Dog does a better rendition than Schmuck Squad, but Schmuck Squad, I do like some of their versions of the Seven Deadly Sins as well.
Mm. Yeah, I would really like to try to get some of these abridges on our podcast, you know, or the creators.
You know, I would just love to poke their and figure out where they come up with some of this stuff, because, again, some of their ideas are genius, like just with Shield Hero, given the Shield of Voice, I think is fundamentally a game changer. It changes so many different scenarios that you see in the original show, and it doesn't feel out of place.
Right. Right, right. So, yeah, I'm just trying to think of different things from here. I mean,
so far, Josh, let me ask you a question with on the abridged topic. Out of the abridges that you've seen so far, what's your favorite?
I'm not gonna lie. I think Log Horizon has to be one of my favorites so far. I'll say Sword Art is number 2, and the Dragon Ball Bridge is number 3. Oh, actually, I take that back. I think they're tied for number 2.
That's fair.
Because
I had a lot of good abridges I've been showing you recently. I know, it's hard to pick.
It really is, and We had, you know, just as time of recording, we had recently watched the Dragon Ball Z arc with Frieza. And unfortunately, that's going to have to be re-recorded, but
we'll be getting that episode out to you guys soon enough.
We will, but just to talk a little bit about that, the first episode that, you know, we had watched from that little arc that we were covering, I laughed so hard. I really did. And the couple episodes after that, I was laughing just not as hard as I was that first one that we watched. So, no, I mean, these are so funny. I can't wait to watch more from different
companies. No, I still got plenty more to show you.
Yeah.
So, I've got plenty more to show you down the road. Don't worry. We got plenty of bags of joy. I know fairly soon, because once we finish Frieza on Team Four Star Bridge, then that's going to start opening up the abridged movies for the Dragon Ball.
Right.
And so we'll start covering those as well, because I want to try and do those as canonically as I can with the show, but everyone knows Dragon Ball Z movies are very non-canon. But exactly. Team Four Star tried to give them that slot where they're supposed to fit for a good amount of them. So that's what we're going to try and follow.
Okay.
So pretty soon we're going to get into the movies. And after the movies, we'll be going into the Android arc for Dragon Ball. And that's going to be a lot of fun.
I did get a little sneak peek of the Android. It was by accident. It was a short. But yeah, I can't wait to get to that point.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Because honestly, I think with the androids, I want to say, even in the original, I liked 18. Wait, she's the one. Yeah, she's the one that's with Krillin now, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Like at first, you know, obviously you're not supposed to like the androids. But the fact that, you know, she came around, I think was pretty funny. But when they do the dynamic between her and Krillin, it was just absolutely hilarious. Just that little bit that I saw. So I can't wait to see more.
Oh yeah, no. The whole dynamic between her and Krillin in a bridge is great. I adore it. And then when we get to the Boo bits after the main show, there's some jokes in there that are just hilarious.
Yeah, I remember.
The Boo bits were great. I wish they could have done it as a whole season, but I do get why they didn't. Especially because there's copyright. There was a lot of wear and tear. About every year, a third to half of the Dragon Ball Z abridged episodes were taken down off of YouTube.
Yeah.
For copyright, so they were always fighting it. Whenever a new episode dropped, more episodes got taken down. And I do remember at the end, you felt the burnout. Because they did, I think it was like 50-something episodes total. Mm-hmm. 50 to 60. And by the time you get to like the Cell games, those episodes were dropping roughly, I want to say it was like one dropped a year, then the next one. And I think we got like two fairly quickly after. And they were going to do a BoJack movie after the Cell games. But when it came down to it, they had to pull the cord on it. And I rewatched the BoJack movie around that time, like the actual movie. Mm-hmm. And I can see why there's not a lot of dialogue in that movie. It is very much just a fight movie.
Right.
And they're like, there's not much we can do. We're burned out. We ended it with the Cell games on a high note. We'd rather leave on the high note. And I agree with that. I think that they made the best call there.
That's understandable.
So, and that's why years later, when they did the Boo Bits, it was such a surprise to everyone because nobody was expecting them to ever come out with the Boo Bits.
Right. And, you know, in parodies in general, I mean, you can really parody anything without actually having to ask for permission, but at least in music wise, I think, cause, I know Weird Al did, you know, obviously does a lot of, you know, parodies, but, even though he didn't have to, he did ask permission from the artists. So, I think that
bridges have gotten a lot easier over the years with the copyright. Yeah. And I think a lot of it comes down to, because the big argument, especially on the copyright, was you're using our images. Mm-hmm. You're using our show. You're using our images, our characters to make this. Mm-hmm. Now, where the reason a lot of things were able to get taken down and put back up is because the argument is, look, yeah, we used some of your things, but we've completely made our own story around this. We've made our own character arcs. We have our own thing going on here.
Yeah, and it's a parody. I mean,
and that's where a lot of it comes down to it. You got to remember, too, YouTube isn't the kindest with copyright because it's all done on a robot. Mm-hmm. So the robot basically will go through, or if somebody decides to flag your video for copyright,
yeah,
the robot will be like, oh, well, that's an image from this. So, yeah, that's copyright.
Right.
And immediately take it down. So then you have to go through the process with YouTube being like, and defend why it's not copyright.
Right.
And once the robot basically takes your video down, you're already put in the defense. It's like, you're not able to be like, well, no, this and this and this beforehand. It is, no, that I didn't copyright because of this reason, and legally I'm allowed to do it because of this. So it becomes a hassle every time.
It does, yeah. And that goes for, like, fanfics as well. You know, it, because I know there's been a couple times where, you know, it when you do a fan parody, like, I'll give an example. There's a Star Trek, one that I listened to, the audio drama, and unfortunately they can't make any money doing it, even though it is a parody. They do still say, you know, please, you know, also support the original content. And I understand. You know, doing a fan pick or a fan podcast or a parody, it really has to be out of pocket. I mean, unless you get, you know, the blessings of whoever you're parodying, or make, like, maybe strike a deal. I mean, I noticed it's gotten a little bit easier, but I think that, you know, if you're going to parody something, I would at least kind of reach out and say, hey, would you mind if I did my own version of, say, the Power Rangers, or my own little version of, you know, Burst Angel or Evangelion. I'm sure there's Evangelion abridges out there, but no, I am glad that it's starting to get a little bit easier, because I know some of the copyright stuff that a lot of people have been dealing with, what is it called? Not freedom of speech. What's that name? I know you and I discussed it before. It was,
I can't think of it off the top of my head.
Crap. Oh, fair use.
Oh, yeah, fair use.
There's also that fair use factor. I know sometimes, I know that there's a limit to that sometimes, and which is fine, understandable. But no, I again, with these abridges that we've been seeing so far, I've been enjoying. Again, I would love to have some of these creators on as a guest. I'm trying to find ways to reach out. I know I've emailed one of them and I still haven't gotten an email back. So we'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens.
Maybe down the road. It would be so much fun to talk to somebody who works on the abridges, honestly. Like I said, just pick their brain on how they come up with things or how they put this together, even. Because I, knowing the time it takes for an episode to come out, knowing getting everyone together, it can't be easy.
No. And even trying to edit, you know, the bits that you want to use, you know, and matching up or syncing with the mouse, you know, because I know with when they were doing one of the Dragon Balls, I know Christopher Sabat said that, you know, sometimes you have, or maybe it was Chris, I don't remember. You know, one of the voice actors said that sometimes you have to wait for this like 3-beat deal in order to try to sync mm-hmm. up. So, yeah, I know it would definitely be interesting. It would definitely be interesting. Unless there's anything else that maybe you want to add, I think we could probably go ahead and wrap it up here.
Yeah, no, I think that's all I really had to say too much on the subject right now. Like I said, definitely check into Fat Dog Studios if you're ever bored and you're looking for a new abridge. As always, too, Team 4 Star is a great channel as well for abridges. Mm. And aside from that, I know we'll be getting that Frieza episode that we were talking about earlier. That should be coming out fairly soon. So keep an eye on the releases for those.
So, and speaking of YouTube, though, you were in April. No. Yeah, we are in April. We're in April. Because this is actually going to drop here in a little bit. So there is no more Google Podcast. So if you had Google Podcast, you know, we did have our RSS feed go to YouTube now. So you can either listen to us on YouTube via, you know, on the computer or with YouTube music on your phone or wherever you can stream YouTube music from. So definitely, you know, listen on that. Some way down the road, we might have video on there. Who knows? But
we're still learning a lot of how the YouTube stuff's going to work, especially with the RSS feed. But we're messing around with it. Once we get it figured out, we'll definitely be trying to get something going on besides just our static logo. Mm-hmm.
So,
but there's a lot of settings, a lot of tweaks, and there's only a couple of us right now. So once we figure it out, we'll get that going.
For sure. And it's still kind of new. So, and I know that there has been podcasts that has already been doing that, albeit done separately. So, but I think this is the first time that, you know, you can actually send an RSS feed to YouTube. So, yeah, so
it's been super convenient. I will say that.
It is convenient, very. Again, it sucks that it had the static image, but you know what? It is what it is. So, yeah, so with that, Danny, would you like to send us off?
Well, from hot and muggy Florida, ciao.
From, starting to be tornado season, Indiana. Later.
This podcast was founded by Joshua Keck and Adam Hart. Produced by Joshua Keck, Adam Hart, and Danny Steinbrecher. Edited by Joshua Keck. Music by Ari Epstein. Artwork by Kayla McClure. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/thattimewestartedananimepodcast, on Discord at thattimewestartedananimepodcast, and on Patreon at patreon.com/thattimewestartedananimepodcast. That time we started an anime podcast.